بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, we seek His help, we seek His aid, and we seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our own souls and from the wickedness of our deeds. Whomsoever Allah guides, there is no one to lead them astray. And whomsoever Allah allows to stray, there is no one to guide them toward the right. I openly bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, who is alone and without partner. And I openly bear witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and messenger and the seal of the prophets. O Allah, exalt Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad as you have exalted Ibrahim and the followers of Ibrahim, for surely you are praised and magnified. Ameen. O Allah, bless Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad, as you have blessed Ibrahim and the followers of Ibrahim, for surely you are praised and magnified. Ameen. This is another of the lectures from the series called Lessons in Islam, which is where I take the works of other scholars and other students of knowledge, and I present them to the people here who may not have access to these people. And in the same tradition, Alhamdulillah, Sister Layla announced today that inshallah the person for whom I've been using for his lecture, Sheikh Muhammad al-Sharif, will inshallah soon be joining us here as one of our regular scholars. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it beneficial for us. Ameen. To proceed. Ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhu, narrates, on the day of Nahr, in Hajj, it's the day of Eid, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed the people and he said, O people, what day is this? And they said, it is the sacred day. And then he remained silent. Then he asked, what month is this? And they said, it is the sacred month. He again, after hearing the answer, remained quiet. Then he asked, what land is this? And they said, it is the sacred land. And he again remained quiet. Then he announced, verily your blood, your wealth, and your honor is sacred to one another, as the sacredness of this day, as the sacredness of this month, as the sacredness of this land. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated it over and over and over. And then he raised his hands toward the heavens and he said, O Allah, have I given the message? O Allah, have I given the message? And this hadith can be found in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. Indeed, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah Azza wa Jal commanded us to be merciful, loving, and forgiving to one another. And he made this a quality in his messenger, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that we could follow Rasulullah's example. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, in translation, in Surah Ali Imran, ayah 159, so, by mercy from Allah, O Muhammad, you were lenient with them. And if you had been harsh in heart, they would have disbanded from about you. So pardon them, and ask forgiveness for them, and consult them in the matter. And when you have decided, then rely upon Allah. Indeed, Allah loves those who rely upon Him. Alhamdulillah. And indeed, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, the Sahaba, radiyallahu anhu, followed the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and were described by the Lord of the heavens and the earth as such, where Allah Azza wa Jal says, in the Qur'an, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and those with him are forceful against disbelievers, but merciful amongst themselves. You see them bowing and prostrating in prayer, seeking bounty from Allah and His pleasure. Their markings on their faces from the traces of prostration. That is their description in the Torah. And their description of the gospel is as a plant which produces its offshoots and strengthens them as they grow firm and stand upon their stalks, delighting the sowers, so that He, meaning Allah, may enrage by them the disbelievers, Allah has promised those who believe and do righteous deeds amongst them forgiveness and a great reward. Alhamdulillah. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, one of the biggest and most evil records of this compassion, love, and brotherhood is backbiting. The word in Arabic is ghiba, coming from the root ghayaba, meaning that which is unseen. When a Muslim sees his brother or sister committing a sin without advising them directly, instead they go away. And when they are unseen by the specific brother or sister, they speak ill of them in their absence. Backbiting, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, no doubt about it, it is haram. It is one of the major sins, and repentance must be sought for this sin. Amongst the scholars of this noble deen, there is no difference of opinion in this matter. Imam al-Qurtubi, he said, there is a consensus, ijma, that backbiting is a major sin, and that it is farid, obligatory, that a person do tawbah from it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said to his companions, do you know what ghiba is? And they said, Allah wa Rasuluhu a'lam, Allah and His Messenger know best. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is to mention something about your brother in his absence that he would hate. It was said, what if what I say about my brother is true? And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if what you say about him is true, then you have backbitten him. And if it is not true, then you have slandered him. And this hadith is from Sahih Muslim. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, look at the severity of the situation and the result of someone who runs after their Muslim brothers and sisters trying to expose their faults. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, O you who have believed with only their tongues, yet faith has not entered their hearts, do not backbite the Muslims, and do not search out their faults. For verily, he who follows the private matters of his Muslim brother, Allah shall follow his private matters. And whoever has his private matters followed by Allah, Allah shall expose them, even if they were hiding in the belly of their home. And this hadith is rated Sahih, narrated by Imam Ahmed and Abu Dawud. Imam Malik, rahimahullah, rahmatullah alayhi, said about the sacred city of Medina, he said, I have met in this land people that had no faults, but they spent their time finding faults in others, and as time passed, they accumulated their own faults. And I have met in this land people who had faults, however they kept silent when it came to the faults of others, and so as time passed, their faults were forgotten. Subhanallah. During the golden Abbasid period, one of the scholars in Baghdad, the capital of the Muslim Caliphate at that time, was reputed to hold high knowledge and high esteem. One day an acquaintance met the great scholar and said to the scholar, do you know what I have just heard about your friend? Hold on a minute, said the scholar. Before telling me anything, I'd like you to pass a little test. It is called the triple filter test. Triple filter, said the acquaintance. That's right, the scholar replied. Before you talk to me about my friend, it might be a good idea to take a moment and filter what you're going to say. That's why I call it the triple filter test. The first filter is truth. Have you made absolutely sure that what you are about to tell me is true? No, the acquaintance replied. Actually, I just heard about it, and at that point, the scholar stopped him and said, all right, so you don't know if it is true or not. Now let's try the second filter, the filter of goodness. Is what you are about to tell me about my friend something that is good? No, on the contrary, said the acquaintance. And the scholar stopped him again and he said, so, you want to tell me something bad about him, but you're not even certain that it is true. You may still pass the test though, because there is one filter left, the filter of usefulness. Is what you want to tell me about my friend going to be useful to me? No, not really, said the acquaintance. Well, concluded the scholar, if what you want to tell me is neither true, nor good, nor even useful, why tell it to me at all? SubhanAllah. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Islam initiated as something strange, and it will revert to its old position of being strange. So good tidings for the stranger. And this is recorded by Muslim, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, and Ahmed. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, in Surah Hujurat, Ayat 12 and Ayat 13. And let us listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling us. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah Azza wa Jal says, O you who have believed, avoid much negative assumption. Indeed, some assumption is sin. And do not spy or backbite each other. Would one of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? You would detest it. And fear Allah. Allah is accepting of repentance and merciful. O you who believe, avoid suspicion as much as possible. We need to avoid suspicion of each other, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam. Avoid suspicion as much as possible, for suspicion, in some case, is indeed sin. And spy not on each other behind their backs. There can be no greater advice. So we ask ourselves, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, what causes someone to backbite his Muslim brothers and his Muslim sisters? One reason can be to satisfy their anger. This is done by backbiting the person who kindles his anger. So every time this person makes him angry, he subsides it by backbiting the person. Through this, the backbiting, he feels he is getting even with the other person. And the cure for this is the advice of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he came to him and advised him, La taqdab, do not become angry. The second reason that people may backbite each other is wanting to make or to keep friends. In order to maintain friends with others, a person indulges in backbiting because he is afraid of losing their friendship. Thus he does not recommend them when they backbite. But instead he indulges in this thing with them. To cure this, we must remember the saying of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said, whoever seeks the pleasure of men by displeasing Allah, Allah will abandon him to the people. And this hadith is from a comedian. Ubaydah, the free slave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reported that someone came and showed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam two women who were fasting and said that these two women were dying of thirst. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned away silently, refusing to give permission for them to break their fast. So the man begged Rasulullah again, mentioning that the women were on the verge of death. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, bring them to me and bring along a bowl. When they came to him, he turned to one of the women and told her to vomit into the bowl. She complied and she spat up a mixture of vomit, blood, pus, and pieces of flesh, subhanAllah, which half filled the bowl. He then turned to the other woman and commanded her to do the same thing. After the bowl was filled, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily, these two have fasted from what Allah has made halal from them, and broke fast from what Allah has made haram. They spent their fast eating the flesh of others. And this is from Imam Ahmed and Bahaq, subhanAllah. These two women had given up food, which was lawful for them, had given up drink, drinking, which was lawful for them. And they had given up relations with their husbands, which was lawful for them. And taking all these things that Allah had made lawful, they gave them up and instead indulged in something that under no circumstances is permissible, which was backbiting and slandering their Muslim brothers and sisters. SubhanAllah. And the third reason is playing around, joking, and making fun of others. This could involve mockery and sarcasm. And I have to be aware of this one because I'm an extremely sarcastic person, SubhanAllah. It is enough to remind those indulging in this practice of what Allah Azza wa Jal has said. O you who have believed, let not a people ridicule another people. Perhaps they may be better than them. Nor let women ridicule other women. Perhaps they may be better than them. And do not insult one another. And do not call each other by offensive nicknames. Wretched is the name mentioned of disobedience after one's faith. And whosoever does not repent, then it is those who are the wrongdoers. And this is from Surah Hujurat, Ayat 11. And just like we see from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the hypocrites and the kuffar, the disbelievers, would make mockery of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, verily time has shown, and Allah Azza wa Jal has shown in his book, that it was indeed those people, the ones that were being ridiculed, that Allah loved. SubhanAllah. And the fourth reason could be anger for the sake of Allah. A person may become angry because of a sin committed by another person. So he talks about it, venting his anger and mentioning that person's name instead of concealing it and not mentioning him. An example that was given of this was, for example, for those of you brothers who might make iktikaf in the masjid sometimes with groups of brothers. And during the night, as the people stir in their sleep, one of the brothers' blankets may rise, and his izar may rise, therefore exposing his private parts. At this point, we have an option. We can go to the brother, gently shake him on the shoulder, and let him know that his ardor has been exposed. Or we can simply go and grab his blanket and cover him up. But instead, the type of person that this part is talking about, he yells out at the top of his lungs in the middle of the night, "Ya Aki, O brother, your private parts are exposed." Therefore, making known that he's been exposed to all the people, instead of covering his honor and guarding his shame, SubhanAllah. Sufyan ibn al-Husayn narrates, "I was sitting with Iyaz ibn Muawiyah when a man walked by, and I said ill of that man. Keep quiet, said Iyaz. And he asked me, have you fought the Romans? And I said no. So then he asked me, have you fought the Turks? And again I said no. He then said, the Romans were saved from you, and likewise the Turks were saved from you, but your own Muslim brother was not saved. And then Sufyan said, after that, I never backbit anyone. Another reason is having too much spare time. And this can cause a person to fall into backbiting, because it is easy for such an idle mind to become busy with men, their honor, and their faults. To correct this, a person must spend his time in acts of obedience to Allah, worshiping, seeking knowledge, and teaching others. And we should at all times, to the best of our ability, keep our tongues wet with the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. Number 6, conceit and lack of awareness of one's own faults. SubhanAllah. Such people should think about their own faults and try to correct themselves and feel ashamed to criticize others when they have many faults themselves. It was said, Turabi ibn Khaytum, or Khaytan, rahimahullah, rahmatullah alayh, they said, we never see you finding faults in others. And he replied, I am not satisfied with myself enough to dedicate my time to finding faults in others. And this indeed is an attitude, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, that we all should have. And Uqba ibn Amr, radiyallahu anhu, narrates, I said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is salvation? And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, hold your tongue. Your house should suffice you, and cry over your own faults. And this is narrated by Tirmidhi in Graded Sahih. Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari narrates, radiyallahu anhu, while we were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we smelled a rotten smell. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then asked, do you know what this smell is? This is the smell of those who backbite the believers. And this hadith is narrated by Imam Ahmad. Sheikh Arkani narrates in one of his lectures that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu once disputed with another companion about a tree. During the dispute, Abu Bakr said something that he wished he had not have said. He did not curse. He did not attack someone's honor. He did not poke a fault in anyone. All he said was something that may have hurt his companion's feelings. And let us remember about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about him. He said, if you were to take the iman of Abu Bakr and put it on one side of the scales, and then take the iman of all the rest of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed, the iman of Abu Bakr would be greater on the scales. Subhanallah. At any rate, immediately after Abu Bakr made this statement, he ordered the companion to say it back to him. And the companion said, I shall not say it back to you. Abu Bakr again commanded him. He said, say it back to me, or I shall complain to the Messenger of Allah. And this is one of the things that Sister Layla talks about a lot on the site. She saw us. Retribution or revenge. Indeed, Abu Bakr had knowledge of this, and he had preferred that this man take his vengeance now in this life rather than have to suffer in the next life for what he had said. So much so that even though Abu Bakr was the one who was offensive, he said to this man, either you get it now, you get your retribution now, or I'm going to go to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and complain. But the companion, he did not say it back to Abu Bakr. Instead, he said, I will not say it back, and he walked away. And true to his word, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told Rasulullah what had happened. And he told him what he had said. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called that companion and asked him, did Abu Bakr say so-and-so to you? And the companion said, yes. And then Allah's Messenger asked him, what did you reply? And he said, I did not reply it back to him. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, good, do not reply it back to him. Do not hurt him, meaning Abu Bakr. Rather, say, may Allah forgive you, O Abu Bakr. So even though we have a right, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, to get qisas, or qisas, Allah's Messenger advised his companion to say, may Allah forgive you, O Abu Bakr. And that is what the companion did. He asked Allah to forgive Abu Bakr. He said, may Allah forgive you, O Abu Bakr. May Allah forgive you, O Abu Bakr. And Abu Bakr turned and cried as he walked away. And indeed, this is a lesson for the people who follow this deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is an example of the real salaf. Not these people who we see today, but the real righteous predecessors. The first three generations, how they handled disputes amongst each other. They wanted the best for their Muslim brothers and sisters. Revenge wasn't always the way. Because we want Allah Azza wa Jalla to be merciful for us on the Day of Judgment, so we have to show mercy to people now. And indeed, in all things, Allah knows best. So how can you and I, revive this air of mercy and love and brotherhood that the companions lived by? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he showed us how to do this in the following ways. Firstly, having iman in Allah and doing acts of goodness. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah Maryam, ayat 96, he says in translation, indeed, those who have believed and done righteous deeds, the Most Merciful will appoint for them affection. The second way that we can revive this air amongst the brothers is by spreading the salams to those that we know and to those that we do not know. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In Sahih Muslim, from Abu Hurairah radiallahu an, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you shall not enter Jannah until you believe, and you shall not believe until you love one another. So I not guide you to something that, if you do it, you shall love one another? Spread the salams amongst yourselves. And in Bukhari and Muslim, from Abdullah ibn Amr, a man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked him, what Islam is best? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, to feed the hungry, and to give salam to those you know, and to those you don't know. And let me add a little something about the salams. We say to people, we make this dua for them, assalamu alaykum, peace be unto you. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. May peace and mercy be upon you. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessing and mercy of Allah be upon you. This is a dua that we make for each other. But it's not just a dua, brothers and sisters. This is a contract that you're making between your Muslim brothers and sisters. You're telling them that your health, your wealth, your property, your honor, your family, everything about you is safe from me. And I will do everything in my ability to protect those things. This is a contract that you're making with your brothers. So how can you, on one breath, greet your brothers and sisters with salam alaikum, and then in the second breath, begin to backbite these people? Because indeed, we're supposed to love and hate for the sake of Allah, our Muslim brothers and sisters. And if you truly love someone, how could you backbite them? And how could you slander them? And how can you sit there and allow someone to backbite them and slander them? Indeed, this is one of the issues with this simple saying of salams, where we should check ourselves and not just make this an empty greeting, but a staple of our life. And indeed, Allah knows best. Third, giving gifts to your brothers and sisters. Suffice is the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tahaddu tahabbu, give gifts and you shall love one another. And this is narrated by Imam Bukhari. And back to what I was saying about the salams is the fourth thing. Telling your brothers and sisters that you love them for the sake of Allah. This is one of the ways to solidify the brotherhood and the sisterhood, when your brother or sister knows that you love them for the sake of Allah. These days people are loved for the clothes they wear. So they buy more expensive clothes. Or they love for the cars that they drive. So they buy newer, more expensive models. But how many are loved for the sake of Allah? And if we truly loved each other for the sake of Allah, what kind of effect would this have on our ummah? Indeed, we would not be in the situation that we're in today as a community of Muslims if we truly understood and loved each other for the sake of Allah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us the example when he said to Mu'adh ibn Jabal, O Mu'adh, I love you for the sake of Allah. Allahu Akbar. Imagine if it was you, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he loved for the sake of Allah. Subhanallah. And Mu'adh replied, may the one for whose sake you love me, love you in return. And in conclusion, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, if you remember one thing from this talk, subhanallah, let it be the following words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said, and we should take this as our motto, so that inshallah we can get to the Jannah. Where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever believes in Allah and the last day, let him say good things or keep quiet. I have said what I have said, and I pray that Allah forgives me and forgives you. If I said or did anything to be offensive, please forgive me and ask Allah to be merciful for me or to me. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Barakallahu fikum wa jazakum khair. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have any questions or concerns, comments or corrections, Please feel free to make them known now. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.